Hello, and welcome to the Business Decisions Podcast. My name is Stuart Wood, and I'm the CEO of Caravel Law. Every week, we bring you stories and insights from founders, owners, and leaders of great businesses, followed by some thoughts and input from one of Caravel's lawyers. Caravel Law has been a leader in legal innovation in Canada since 2004, and has helped many startups and small businesses overcome challenges as they have scaled and succeeded. Our hope is that these discussions will help existing business leaders and inspire others to start their own ventures. Now, let's get to today's guest. We're lucky today to have Eva Chan from LaunchPop on the podcast with us. Eva is co-founder of LaunchPop based in Santa Monica, California, along with her co-founder, Jane Lee. Before this, she was the co-founder of a company based in Toronto and Cincinnati called Exact Media. While she was at Exact Media, she was recognized as Forbes Top 30 Under 30. I first met Eva when she was part of the team behind Luxbox, which was a subscription service for beauty samples about 7 years ago now. And she gave me a bunch of help on a couple of startups that I worked on. 7 years, I know. I'm delighted to have a chance to speak with her today. Eva, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so happy. I'm so excited.
There you go.
I shared my entire life story.
Your entire life story?
Which is just working, unfortunately.
There you go. Well, that would be why you've accomplished so much in such a short time. It seems like LaunchPop is going full speed ahead. Tell us a little bit about LaunchPop.
Yeah. So LaunchPop, we're based, we actually started in Toronto 2 years ago. So essentially what LaunchPop is, we help founders who want to disrupt a category or create a new category and go to market within about 6 to 8 months. And literally, you know, between Jane and I and our incredible team at LaunchPop, we help the founders from doing design to growth to research and figuring out who your target audience is, and to community building and building your initial traction so that you can get your pre-seed or seed round. We initially started with this launch vertical. In our first year, we launched about 20 companies. We have about 4 to 5 great case studies that you can see on our website. And then in our second year now, we're actually more selective about how many companies we launch. It's not about how many, it's more about, hey, our expertise are in the millennial space and we're following a millennial's life stage and their journey. And so what are the products and services that can help this group? And so what we do is we like to help founders and products that offer solutions in that area.
How hands-on is the LaunchPop team throughout the, is it just at the start or do you stay engaged going forward?
Yeah. I mean, if we want to speak specifically about our launch projects, typically a founder would come to us. He or she is very product oriented. We love founders who are passionate about what they do, passionate about R&D. And when they come to us, oftentimes they only have a concept or an ingredient that they want to explore. They may have an idea on format or product or service that they want to offer. But actually what we do is they go through a month with us to discover, hey, based on this service, who will resonate from a digital landscape and who would care? And then from there, we start testing, you know, like what are the value props that this specific audience would care. And we prioritize that and start creating the format, creating the product. Although we're not physically helping to manufacture, we do help dictate a lot of how the product can be going to market. So very early stage, very hands-on, conceptual. And then from there, when they're building product, we start building community. So our team is very hands-on to figure out, okay, who's that first audience? Okay, where can we find this audience and start funneling them to a community that you own as a founder, as a brand, and start nurturing them and actually have them share thoughts and feedback along the entire journey so that the founder has data to iterate before even going to market. And then, you know, we go from figuring out, you know, what's that go-to-market strategy? What kind of influencers do we need to reach out to? What is the campaign with influencers? How do we create the website, the flow, the journey, the experience, copy? If you can think of anything and everything from going to market online, we do that.
So LaunchPop really becomes full partners with these founders.
Yeah, we're almost like a 10-person co-founder.
How did you guys go about thinking about growing the team from just the two co-founders to now the group of 10?
You know, Jane and I were very hands-on. We're operators at heart. And initially, when we started LaunchPop, we had a passion to help founders realize ideas. And so in our first year, we intentionally wanted to be hands-on. So Jane and I, you know, each, you know, had our own accounts, and we would always do a retro to learn about, you know, what type of talent we need, what type of structure we can create to create an environment of learning, a culture of being hungry, and a culture of collaboration and creativity. It took a year to figure that out. And so just literally, I think in January, that's when we went full speed and hired almost 10 people in January.
Your relationship with Jane as a co-founder on the business.
Yes.
How has that evolved as you've grown from just the two of you to being the leaders of a team?
So Jane and I are co-founders. We are best friends to begin. We actually mulled over the idea of even working together on anything for about 3 months. And during those 3 months, we had weekly get-togethers at a coffee shop. Not even talking about ideas. We talked about what we wanted in life, what we enjoyed and what we didn't. Those 3 months were really to understand each other and have really candid conversations. And so through those conversations, I discovered that Jane had complementary skill sets to myself. And so, we discovered that we're both really into the early stages of building a company and realizing something that's very ambiguous to something that's more structured. And I don't know, since then, because I feel like we had that conversation, we understand where our values are as a person and what our plans are personally in the next, let's say, 3, 5, 10 years. That we realized, yes, this can work. It's like a dating story. I rely on Jane a ton to call me out. I rely on Jane to bounce ideas and have a different perspective. We really believe in, you know, conflict within our culture, and then that's the only way you can have creativity as an output.
And so with the founders that you work with, do you see a lot of co-founders, or do you see a lot of people going it solo?
So a lot of our founders actually are single founders. And I think that's why they really need our help at LaunchPop. It gets really lonely, and, you know, we do a lot of things that are not on paper. For example, you know, helping a founder through stress, helping a founder through, conflict with, team members, and thinking through, how to, you know, manage different personalities. Those are not documented, but we do all of that because we can resonate and we have empathy for the founder.
You and Jane have actually done some writing on founders and the different types of founders that you see out there. Do you find it interesting to think about the founders you're working with and determine which category they belong to?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because at LaunchPop, our launch arm is, I want to view it as building a portfolio. Because we do take equity, we do charge a rate. However, launching, it takes the same amount of effort, doesn't matter what type of product or what stage they are in. And so in that sense, we have to be very picky about who we take on. And so we've developed, you know, a criteria on the type of founders that we think would do well. And the type of products that will do well in the next 3-5 years in the DDC space. I guess, like, if you want to talk about what type of founders we resonate with, are those that start a company based on passion and like a passion to change, a passion to disrupt, and a passion to iterate. And the founders that I don't think will do well long term are those that start with money and they think there's an opportunity with money. I always believe that if you start with passion, you will figure out how to make money. You'll have the energy mm-hmm. to problem solve. And you'll have the sincerity to iterate on your product and build community. That's the biggest advantage any founder today going to market can have, is that you can build community. And the large CPG or Fortune 500 companies that you're going against cannot.
In terms of the way that you and Jane have approached the partnership, do you have any advice that you would give to two friends who were thinking of starting out a business?
Yeah, I mean, never start at a place of it being so cool or exciting that that you're working with your best friend or friend. Should always start at a place of, what am I building? What are my skill sets? And have an open conversation with yourself first on what do you think are the skill sets needed to complement me and do well as a company. And then identify if your best friend or friend fit that mold. And not even just from that layer, but also a layer of you as a human, like what are your values, and then what are your plans in the next 3-5 years, and then what do you need in a partner that complement or that is also parallel to that. And if it works out, then yeah, it's so cool to launch a company with your best friend, because you can talk about life and you can talk about work and you can be on a journey and adventure together. It's the most amazing feeling.
Oh, okay.
If you spend most of your hours building your company, most of your hours in your, you know, living and breathing life, just working, you really have to remember that it's not just work between you and your co-founder. It's also a friendship that you have to build. And so also Jane and I, you know, we're best friends. So it's, you have to be very intentional about nurturing your friendship, not just nurturing your relationship as a co-founder. So when Jane and I talk about personal life, we never talk about it over Slack. We would Facebook Messenger each other or on Instagram. And then when it's about work, let's say it's about sales and we have to talk over pricing or what kind of scope we have. And we only talk about that in the sales channel and nowhere else. And so we really make an effort to segment our conversation in our head space.
And keep those boundaries.
Yes.
And did you guys ever think about what happens if this doesn't work? What happens if we don't get along?
You know what? Our number one priority is that we get along. If LaunchPop fails, that's okay, as long as we get along. Because we believe that if we are getting along, LaunchPop will do well. If LaunchPop doesn't do well and we still get along, we will figure out a solution together, or we will pivot and we'll go on another adventure. So if you want to think about how we prioritize everything, from sales to growth to if we get funding or not funding, to if we get this founder or not, if we, you know, hire someone or fire someone, our friendship and our relationship is always number one.
So where does LaunchPop go from here?
It's a work in progress, but now we have a great, you know, 10-person team. We are doing very well as a company. It's quite a well-oiled machine right now that still allows for creativity. But now we have other, you know, verticals we want to explore to strengthen our entire business model. So as I mentioned, we do treat the startup companies that we launch as a portfolio building. And so we take equity and we want to protect that equity over time. And we're thinking about actually, it's in the works right now to build and launch a D2C fund. The main thing is to support the follow-up rounds to protect the equity that we have, and also to open up other opportunities where you know, high growth companies come to us for our services, I want to be able to have the conversation with them to be on the cap table, inject cash where we can to support them in their growth, where we don't have that opportunity to even have the conversation today. So that's one. You can expect us to do some conferences in the D2C space. And we have some pitch events going on. I think we have a second one that will be launching in October, and that's going to be based in Toronto with Shopify. And then
what kind of pitch event?
So basically, we partner with a fund, and always Shopify. 10 early stage companies can submit their pitch to us, and we qualify them to actually do a real life pitch in front of 4 judges. And if you win, then you will receive funding from one of our investment partners. And typically the check size is between $100,000 to $200,000. And then Shopify supports this company with a year's worth of Shopify services. And on top of that, you get to work with Launchpop.
Does Jane ever have crazy ideas you have to talk her out of?
We both have crazy ideas, and we are both like cheerleaders of each other. And so we're very quick to get excited. Super, super quick to get excited about each other's ideas. It's crazy because last year we dabbled in so many industries. We took on anyone and everyone because we were very excited about each other's ideas and others' ideas. And that was a mess. That was crazy. We were not focused. But with that came with a lot of learnings on where we can focus, where we are good at, and where our magic sauce is. So yes, we have a lot of crazy ideas, but hey, we're a company that launches companies, and so we're not afraid to launch verticals and kill it fast.
So lots of experimentation, lots of back and forth.
Yes, totally.
Have you ever had more fun than this in your career?
Let me think. No. I'm having a time in my life being challenged. Same with our team members. They're very excited always to speak with our founders, to launch products. It's not just between Jane and I, it's between our founders, our community, and our team.
Perfect. Well, if someone out there has a fantastic idea for a product and would like to work with LaunchPop to bring it to the market, how can they learn more about you?
Yep. So you can go on our website at launchpop.com, or you could totally reach out to one of our founders in our portfolio and ask about LaunchPop. We highly recommend that.
You guys are special, right? In that you've figured out how to make this friendship work really well as a business partnership and keep the lines between those two things separate, but sort of achieve the benefits of both, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that you guys are building a business together means you get to spend so much time with your best friend.
Yeah.
But it hasn't affected your friendship or kept you from being honest with each other and challenging each other at work, kind of thing. You sort of picked out the best parts of it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. I think there's a lot of work to doing that. And I think people forget that, or not, they don't realize that you have to put work into your friendships. You have to put work into being a co-founder, and it has to be genuine. It can't be manufactured. You know, when you really care about someone, and when you really care about a business doing well, it's not always about your interests. It's not always about you having your way or winning the argument. It's really about deconstructing your ego, and it's bigger than yourself. And that's a journey that like we had to both go on and learn and do and practice. And that creates a lot of relief for you as a founder.
Yeah, it's really striking when you talk about your founders though too, because you talk about them. So once you decide to work with somebody, they kind of become part of the LaunchPop family, right?
They do, yeah.
Yeah. And the way that you, it's certainly not on the level of your partnership with Jane, but it's it really does seem to become something that prompts very strong feelings of wanting these people to succeed and do everything you can to help them achieve their dreams, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's really where a lot of our motivation comes from. Even for our team, everyone joining LaunchPop really care to help others realize their ideas. And along the way, you know, just the nature of how we interact as a team and with founders is via Slack, via casual conversations, Giphies. We have to have a lot of fun along the way. And that creates, you know, a relationship that's beyond transactional.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Eva. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
So we just had a great conversation with Eva Chan from LaunchPop, and delighted now to be joined by Jason Rosen from Caravel Law. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your practice?
Thanks, Stuart. Happy to be here. My practice is really a business law and transaction focused practice. If you think of the life cycle of a company, I tend to focus my efforts on the front end, starting up companies, partnerships, joint ventures, helping companies, you know, get their capital structure in place, do a lot of work in terms of partnership agreements, shareholder agreements. And then I kind of cycle back to the back end of the life cycle in terms of the exiting. So whether it's a acquisition transaction, whether asset or sale, dissolution transactions, it really depends on what it is. But those are my two main sort of areas. And I actually see a lot on both sides of the equation in terms of shareholder agreements.
With regards to LaunchPop, you know, we heard the story about two best friends starting a company, living together, and making all the decisions required along the way to grow from just the two of them as co-founders to a team of 10. And the company seems to be doing really well. That's not the story that you always hear about friends who start businesses together. One of the things I wanted to ask is, what are some of the things that two friends that are starting a company together should be focused on and discussing up front?
Stuart, I think the place to start for business partners who are friends is to make sure that their expectations of one another are aligned. And these are things that we could deal with in a shareholders agreement, but they're also things that you really should be talking about before we put pen to paper. So things like, what is the expectation that each party has in terms of what each of them will be bringing to the business venture? So is there a particular skill set or background that you expect that your partner is going to be working on and engaged in as part of the business, whether it's marketing or business development or technical side? You need to make sure that each party is comfortable with the role that they're going to play within the company. I think you need to make sure that your expectations of one another in terms of the amount of time and energy that you will devote to the business venture is the same. Sometimes there's an assumption that each party is going to devote 100% of their time and energy and effort on the business venture, but oftentimes that's not always the case. Sometimes somebody has another venture that they're also focused on, particularly if it's a startup and it's not generating money, they may have a side gig that they intend to focus on as well to sort of pay the bills while the company gets going. If you're not clear at the beginning as to what your expectations are in terms of what does it mean to be fully engaged, it can often lead to a conflict down the road. I think you need to have a bit of a discussion about how are we going to make decisions? How are we going to work together? And then I think the last thing that I often come across is I think people need to have a conversation about what the timeline for this venture is, particularly if there's an age gap between the parties. If someone is closer to retirement age, they may not be in this for, you know, a 20-year time frame. They may only want to see this thing sort of grow within 5 years and then they will exit. Whereas if the other partner is much younger, their expectations in terms of the time horizons for this company are going to be very different. So that's another conversation that I think two parties need to have.
Yeah, lots of good things for people to be thinking about there. Why is it so important for two co-founders to have a shareholder agreement in place early on?
So the way I look at a shareholders agreement, it's very much akin to a prenuptial agreement in a marriage. A business relationship in a company is very much the same as when you enter into a marriage. At the beginning, everybody's in love. They can't possibly contemplate a time in which they won't be together and things won't work out. But the reality is stuff happens along the way. And although you don't go into these things with the intention that it's going to break up, it often does. And what a shareholders agreement does is it puts in place, if done properly, a roadmap and a framework for determining how things in the company are going to work. So it will deal with how decisions in the company get made. For example, do we both need to be in agreement with respect to going to a bank to borrow money? Do we both need to be in agreement if we want to bring on another partner? What if I want to exit the business? Do I have to offer my shares to you first, or can I just go sell them to someone? So a shareholder agreement will cover those type of things. And it'll also deal with sort of life events. What if someone dies? What if someone becomes disabled? You know, it will allow us to craft answers as best we can to these questions. The problem is when you don't have a shareholder agreement, the law is pretty minimal with respect to the rights and obligations of shareholders in a company. The law doesn't say anything with respect to what happens when someone dies. You know, under the Ontario or Canadian laws, the shares of a partner would simply pass to their estate. And, you know, that might not be something the surviving partner is interested in having happen. So a shareholders agreement will outline as best we can what we will do when various situations come up. And I think it's really critical to have these agreements because, yes, it costs a little bit of money. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have at the beginning, but in the long run, they could be lifesavers. Now, my own philosophy is we spend the time and money and effort to put these agreements together at the front end, and hopefully you just tuck that agreement in a drawer and you never look at it again. My expectation is that you're not pulling out your shareholders agreement as founders every minute and pointing to a particular clause to solve your issue. You got to work through these things as normal business people would. But when the relationships break down or life events intervene, you need that roadmap.
Perfect. Well, that's a lot of great things for people to think about. Thank you very much for your time today, Jason.
Thank you, Stuart.
All right. I want to thank my guests this week, Eva Chan of LaunchPop and Jason Rosen from Caravel Law. We hope you enjoyed this first episode of the Business Decisions podcast. We look forward to bringing you more stories like this in the weeks to come. If you'd like more information about Caravel Law, please visit our website at caravellaw.com.